Hi, everyone. It's Diane. I'm an EC facilitator with the Durham District School Board.
And I'm Amanda. I'm also an ECE facilitator with the Durham District School Board. Today's episode of the Early Years podcast is going to be episode 3, What Happened to the Pencil?
So Amanda, the reason I wanted to have this conversation with you around pencils in kindergarten is that I've noticed for a long time there's this misconception around pencils. Should we not? And the context in which the pendulum swung, if you will, from all paper pencil activities to no paper pencil activities, and how we'd kind of like that to land in the middle.
Yeah, we've noticed in kindergarten classrooms that pencils seem to have become a taboo, like something that's hidden that we still want to use because we know they're useful, but we're scared that other people are going to find out we're using pencils in kindergarten in a play-based program. And we really wanted to have this discussion to really dispel those myths about the pencil in kindergarten and how it can be useful and how they should be used within a context of a play-based learning environment.
So my wonder about why this happened is I think back to when full-day kindergarten rolled out in 2010 in Ontario. Prior to that, the then Liberal government had introduced this idea, because what we knew was that across Ontario, about 30% of children weren't actually ready for grade one. So great initiative by the government then to respond and how can we do this different? So without going into all the history of full day kindergarten, I wonder if what happened at the time was, if we were going to move to play-based, somehow that myth emerged.
Yes, I think that when full day kindergarten happened and the play-based learning vocabulary started to emerge, we had a shift in our thinking about the role of a pencil in kindergarten. And this myth emerged that we can never have a worksheet or a pencil within our kindergarten classroom, and then that was no longer best practices. So it kind of became a hidden thing that we did in our classrooms, because I think as educators, we know that they can be useful in certain contexts. So with this podcast, we really wanted to have a discussion about that myth and talk about the reasoning behind worksheets and have a look at our practices and a self-reflection piece about what worksheets are and how they can serve a purpose within our classroom.
Right, and beyond a worksheet, even to just using pencils in our classroom, it doesn't have to be a pencil to worksheet, for example. It can be pencil to any kind of paper. It can be whiteboard marker to whiteboard. For a lot of educators, what they come back to me with is they want their children to be able to have even rudimentary printing skills, so that when they move forward into grade one, they're set, right? They're ready. They want to feel that they've prepared their second year kindergarten children for grade one.
Yeah, we don't want our students to never have held a pencil. I don't think that is going to be an advantage to any student that they've never held a pencil and they're going into grade one and then all of a sudden they have to be able to write. I think that having pencils available to our students and having places where they can practice putting a pencil to paper is a necessary skill that they need to be shown how to do. They need some skills built up behind that before they can even begin writing.
I love that you said the skills built up behind that, because that's a lot of the piece that I think is so important. When a child isn't able to hold a pencil well or something like that, it invites conversation and wonders around their fine motor skills. So maybe with some of our kiddos, we need to be filling that gap on building fine motor capacity before we're moving into pencils. So is that one of the things that maybe did it, was that children really weren't ready? Maybe they hadn't had the experiences at home or in another setting prior to school, so they weren't ready for a pencil, but then the baby got thrown out with the bathwater, if you will.
Yes, I think that we got so wrapped up in no longer having a classroom that was based on whole group lessons and worksheets that when we started to rethink the program, everything got thrown out the window and we started building up the play-based program from nothing. And we started thinking about how it would look within a kindergarten program. And I think that the pencil went out with it, with the bathwater. And I still think that it has a very important role to play within a kindergarten setting. Take a look at ourselves and our practices and make sure that the pencil is serving a proper role within our program. And if our students aren't able to hold a pencil, what are we doing to help them build up those skills so they are ready to write when they want to write?
I love that, right? Because that is where play-based learning is absolutely a vehicle for it all. Are we outside in the sand? Are we inside in those kind of sensory things? Is the Play-Doh out on the table? Are we having painting? Are we having lacing? Anything that gets the pincer grasp moving, small toys, all of those kind of things. Even a center that you set up a provocation for patterning, for example, when children are moving items, it has that backfill piece of picking up on developing those skills so that will lend itself to holding a pencil.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we also have to reflect on those students that are ready to be writing and holding a pencil, and they want that form of creativity. They want that form of self-expression to be able to start writing and putting their thoughts on a piece of paper for other people to read. And it might be doing a disservice to those students who are ready to hold a pencil, who are ready to write, to not have that source of writing available to them.
Right. And it doesn't have to look like pencil and paper. It can look like wipe off markers with a whiteboard. It can look like documenting on an iPad, all of those kind of things to get those ideas across. And it can look like a writer's workshop sheet, for example, that a lot of people in our system use for printing. I think it's about intentionality. I think it's about being really understanding the why behind what it is that you're bringing into your classroom. It says in the kindergarten program on pages 72 and 84 that worksheets are closed-ended. So I think that if we're going to be bringing it into the classroom, and they should be avoided. It actually says that in the kindergarten program 2016 of Ontario, that worksheets should be avoided in certain language and math activities. And I think that's because if I'm just cutting out a 3 to put it by the 3, is there another vehicle of which I could deliver that kind of learning? And is there something else that could be happening in the classroom to have that representation of numbers happening in that example, for example? It doesn't mean I can't ever have that in my classroom, but you would want to absolutely be able to defend your practice and explain why this was the best learning for this child at that time.
So you could even think about it as in they need the scissor practice. So you have some paper out for them to practice with scissors and cutting and pasting, and then also using the pencil, all those fine motor skills that are built up behind just a simple worksheet. So having an intentionality with each of your worksheets instead of having it being, oh, we're working on the number 3, so everybody is going to do this number 3 worksheet because that's how they're going to learn, rather shifting our thinking about all the different ways that students can learn, and having maybe some students who are best at learning with a piece of paper and a pencil in front of them, maybe that's the best learning for them, but also having other ways for other students to learn that best suits their learning style.
Right. And I've had many educators say to me, okay, so I do all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we put all of that stuff out and we have great extending activities and provocations for the children. And I just have some kids who absolutely will not pick up a pencil. And what do you do? And I get that. It's like your child who doesn't want to read. And I think that it's one of those things that you have to find their currency. You have to find something that intrinsically motivates them, that is going to help them want to do that. Maybe they're the child who gets to come up to the board and circle something. Maybe they're the child who, you know, takes, I don't even know. But it's about knowing your child. So how then, instead of you have to do this, come sit here right now, that's not fun. That doesn't sound like fun. So how can we motivate them to be excited about printing their first name or those kind of things? Because when a child is pushing that back to us, they are giving us a message.
Mm-hmm. And it's also about building up their stamina of being able to focus and complete an activity. Whereas some students, there won't be able to sit the entire time to complete a worksheet. And that's not appropriate for them to sit down and have to focus on one piece of paper with a pencil in their hand for the next 10 minutes in order to complete it the way you see fit. It's about making sure that you're working on the skills that is behind it to make sure that they have the stamina to work through something on their own. And how do you get them motivated to do that? And as educators, we have to know our students. We have to know what motivates them and how we can get to a place where they, where at the end of year two, when they're going into grade one, they have that ability to do some work on their own and have that stamina built up.
I agree. I think the other piece that I've seen in a classroom, and Amanda, you spoke to me about this earlier too, is that there are children who seek this type of learning. And again, I think that is about knowing your students. If you have a child who has older siblings, for example, and maybe that's their quote homework, and they like to do that at the kitchen table with their siblings so they feel a sense of inclusion, then that's not a bad thing. For me, it's about however paper and pencil is delivered in your classroom, it has intentionality. And is there other things being offered? You might have something on one table and then variations of that throughout your classroom in a not pencil and paper format, for example, with blocks or with any other number of manipulatives that are in your classroom.
Yes, I feel like there are some students that definitely seek out a more worksheet type activity, and that is their learning style. That's what they like to do. That's what they're motivated to do. Maybe that is because they have older siblings that do homework at home, and they see that and they feel motivated to have completed work in that way. And so I would definitely have pencil and paper available for those students. And then if you have another student who may be not able to complete the work completely on a worksheet, but still sees maybe some older students going to it and then wants to join in on that activity, you never know who would want to use it. So I would never stop a child from using one, and I would never not have a pencil and paper activity that a student would maybe want to do.
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's that balance piece, right? It's finding a middle ground with recognizing sort of why I'm choosing this, how this is going to help me determine growth and learning for a child across the four frames of the kindergarten program. Is this my best choice? And moving forward from there.
So yeah, it's that self-reflection piece. So thinking about your program, and if you feel like you don't have any paper and pencil, having that reflection of how are students learning how to write letters? Are they having that moment of doing the different lines that they need to be able to do in order to form different letters and numbers? And how are you providing that for students? Is it solely paper and pencil, or is it solely based on using, like, let's say, loose parts or blocks in your classroom? And how are you providing that middle ground so that students do actually start making those different lines that are vital for forming letters and numbers that students need to really know how to do? So it's really reflecting on your program, reflecting on your best practices, and really coming up with what works best for you in your classroom for your students at this time. Because it might change next month.
Exactly. And year to year.
Yes.
And based on the children that come through your door and are seeking learning from you.
Well, thank you, Diane. That was a great discussion on what happened to the pencil in kindergarten, and something that I have had a lot of self-reflection on during my career as an early childhood educator, and has changed over time, too.
That's fantastic. I really appreciate you joining me with this conversation today as we really look at our kindergarten programs and become more and more a reflective practitioner.